Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The Northern Ireland local elections take place tomorrow. The main parties will be vying for 462 council seats. Some say the election is based on local issues. Others say it could be a referendum on the DUP's continued Stormont boycott. Well, to preview the ballot, I'm joined on the line by Professor Deirdre Heenan, Professor of Social Policy at the University of Ulster. And I'm also joined by Belfast-based journalist Amanda Ferguson. And thank you both for joining us this morning. So, Amanda, how has the campaign been over the last couple of weeks?
Well, it's been quite flat and lacklustre. Now, obviously, because it's a local council election rather than Stormont or Westminster, it's not particularly high stakes. And I think you're right in what you're saying. For some people, it will be voting on local services. But for many people, it will be a verdict on the DUP's boycott of Stormont. And that can either be in support of it or a vote against it. How that falls remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm. And Deirdre, what's your take on how people view this election? Are they going to vote on local issues or on the big Stormont one?
No, I don't think people are going to vote on local issues. This is very much a de facto election on the DUP stance to date. Local elections tend to be quite dull. We have very limited powers in terms of bins, burials and dog dirt. Not exactly something that you could call rock and roll. So people are really thinking about the bigger picture here in Northern Ireland.
Mm-hmm. And interest on the doorsteps, Amanda, as you've been out and about reporting, how much interest is there in this?
Well, I think that a lot of people want to send a message to the Stormont parties, but also a lot of people are sort of turned off and switched off from it. Now, the local elections in the North tend to have a lower turnout than the other types of elections, so around sort of 51-52%. So it'll be interesting to see whether people feel exercised enough to get out there to actually vote. I think that what we're going to be looking at is the main themes of Sinn Féin going to emerge as the largest party in local government as it did at the Assembly last year. What's the verdict on how the Unionist parties are handling the Stormont boycott? And then the third thing, which will be really interesting because a lot of people tend to underestimate the Alliance Party, is that sort of growing third block of others, as they're described in the North. And there is a lot of enthusiasm amongst the Alliance candidates at the moment, and you can see the ambition in running 110 candidates, and that's in 78 out of the 80 DEAs. Now Sinn Féin's running 162 candidates and the DUP's running 152, so perhaps the DUP is reflecting the position that it finds itself at the moment. But I know that a lot of people who are non-unionists might perhaps sort of expect the DUP to get a bit of a hammer in, but it's likely that they'll still emerge as the largest unionist party.
Do you agree with that, Deirdre?
Well, I think it is interesting because we've just had local elections in England, and there the Conservatives really got a bloody nose. They lost over 1,000 seats because the public are not happy. They're not happy with inflation. They're not happy with rising prices. They're not happy with the cost of living crisis. Unfortunately, in Northern Ireland, Northern Ireland's divisions have cast a very long shadow over our electoral process. And the best candidate or local politics is almost always trumped by the worst of our tribal instincts. So the reality is people here are not going to be voting for the local candidate who's running food banks, who's done wonderful things in the community. Largely, people will be voting along tribal issues, and they'll be saying, is this a vote for the DUP to say, I support your boycott, and I think it's a good idea, and we should stay out of government whilst the Windsor framework isn't to our liking? Or is it a vote for Sinn Féin to say, look, we are sending a message from the nationalist community to say, we think it's outrageous that we haven't had a government since last February. And in fact, we want to send a message to say enough is enough. And in terms of a cost of living crisis, of course, for Sinn Féin, for them, the eyes are on the prize. This, they're hoping that they will come out of this election as the largest nationalist party at local government level. That will be the first time in history. They're knocking on the Taoiseach's door in Dublin. They are the most popular party in the Republic of Ireland, if the polls are to be believed. And they are now the top party in terms of assembly elections. So for them, in many ways, it will be a clean sweep. So what they have carried out the most presidential campaign, just basically saying, we want to move forward. Look at us, we're progressive. Haven't put a foot wrong, but in many ways have said very little about how they would address the crisis in public services that we find ourselves in.
Interesting that you use the description of a presidential-style campaign, Amanda, because I understand there are very many posters around of Michelle O'Neill, who, of course, isn't running in the local elections.
Yes, it's sort of Michelle's candidates as such. I think it's very clear that the message coming out from the parties is sending a message to the DUP. If you look at the branded material, Sinn Féin's message is working for all. The Alliance Party's message is Alliance works. And the Ulster Unionist Party message is making Northern Ireland work. So I think that the message from them is for the DUP to get back to work as such. And it's very clear because of Michelle O'Neill's popularity that she's sort of front and centre at this. And Deirdre is right. This local election is just part of the warm-up for the general election, you know, before 2025 on the other side of the border. And, you know, one of the interesting things that's missed out, and again, it's because of the While We're at Peace, We Are a Contested Jurisdiction, is the local government dysfunction that's been experienced because, you know, back in 2015, we moved from 26 councils to these 11 super councils, and they were supposed to save us a fortune and deliver everything. And there isn't really a lot of evidence of that. John Manley, the political correspondent from the Irish News, has an excellent piece in today about the election campaign failing to focus on local government dysfunction. So I think that whenever it comes to the North, elections are always about more than one thing. There will be people out there who reward the candidates on the ground who are doing good work in their communities, and let's not sort of be too cynical that there isn't good work ongoing, but a lot of it is about sending a message to other parties. And I'd imagine that you know, if the DUP gets a good day, then they'll say it's vindication of their position on Stormont. You know, TUV Jim Alistair will be hoping to give them a bit of a bloody nose. And I think it's going to be instructive because the TUV has got a very hard line position on the Windsor framework and the protocol. So we'll find out if this is what unionist voters are voting on, you know, how much that actually matters to them.
And how, Deirdre, do you think the Alliance Party is going to do, given their high hopes?
Oh, I think the Alliance Party will do well. There is an Alliance surge, and they will be hoping that they will be able to maintain that. In terms of the league table after these elections, they will be very much hoping that they will be the party in third position, that they will have cannibalised both the UUP vote and the SDLP vote, who find themselves stuck in the middle, as it were. So they've positioned themselves very much as the progressive, pragmatic party of reform. They are saying that it's not good enough to have institutions back up and running, that we cannot have stop-start devolution because we only have to look around us to see what that has delivered for us. And they're also in a position where they can be very critical of the DUP and also critical of Sinn Féin. The difficulty for them is they still remain very much an East of the Ban party, that they are associated with the middle classes and the leafy suburbs of North Down. They've made very few inroads into the west of the province, and still in some areas there isn't an Alliance candidate to vote for. So I think if they are serious about getting third position and keeping third position in the short term, then they really have to expand their message across the west of the Ban. I think what's interesting, though, is Jeffrey Donaldson said in his interview recently that basically Rishi Sunak wasn't taking his calls anymore. And it does seem that the British government have become exasperated with Northern Ireland and the DUP in particular. And they're basically saying, get back to work. At the conference for the Good Friday Agreement, Chris Heaton-Harris was very pointed in his comments towards the DUP and said, leaders know when to lead. And it is time to get back into government and get these institutions restored.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see what happens after the election, because remember when the Windsor framework emerged, I think most people were shocked when they realised that the DUP would ask everybody to wait for them to make up their minds until after the local elections. And here we are. But what will the DUP do, Deirdre, after the election? What will have changed?
Well, I think you're absolutely right, because the Windsor framework was published in February, and most commentators said it is absolutely impossible that they will string this out until after the local elections, because we've got the Good Friday Agreement celebrations in there, we've got a Biden visit. But what we got was an 8-person panel. Remember them? Because we haven't heard a word from them. Apparently they've reported, but no one knows what they've said.
This was the 8-person DUP panel, which was put together to examine whether the framework met the test set out by the DUP.
They have reported back, but it is not made public what they have said. And so I think it is interesting because Sir Geoffrey Donaldson needs an off-ramp. He needs the ability to say, look, the public support me, but in the end, he will be coming back to the devolved institutions because there is nowhere else for them to go. This is the only show in town. So what they will be looking for is something that they can dress up as victory, say, look, we got the changes, the public supported us, we've amended the protocol. But what they are actually saying in public is they want to go back to the UK's position in the Northern Ireland's position within the UK internal market. And frankly, that's an impossibility because we've had a hard Brexit. So there's going to have to be some fudge to get them back in.
OK, Amanda, you wanted to come in on that there.
Yeah, I was just going to say that the DUP referenced the party panel at their manifesto launch that I was at, but their message in there was very clear that while the panel had said that, you know, that it didn't meet the test they had set, they don't feel under any pressure to get back into government next week. Now, the line that the TUV is taking is that, oh, we're the only ones that are standing firm, we're the only ones, you know, that you can rely on just to stay out of Stormont, whereas the DUP have said that they still want movement from the UK government. Now, the issue with that is that what possibly could the UK government give at this point? Because the Good Friday Agreement is very clear about Northern Ireland's constitutional position. It remains part of the UK, and unless people vote for something different, and the economic side of things is being driven by the winter frameworks. And we had James Cleverly, the UK minister, yesterday saying that there isn't going to be a renegotiation of that, that if it was to be open, there was no sort of guarantee that the EU would move in any way. So yeah. I think what you'll see is the UK government giving some form of words to the DUP about Northern Ireland's place in the UK. And I know that people, human rights observers, will be watching that carefully, that there isn't too much tinkering done around the edges of what's actually been agreed previously. Right. But the DUP isn't going to be under any pressure until at least the autumn, because a new Stormont term doesn't start until then.
Okay, and it drags on and on. Professor Deirdre Heenan and Amanda Ferguson, thank you both on those Northern Ireland local elections which are happening tomorrow. Now, you may have heard reports of the floods, heavy rains in northern Italy. Well, in the last few minutes, officials there have confirmed that 5 people now are confirmed dead. We'll bring you more on that after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.